Good morning, Betty.
Good morning, Marty. How are you?
Doing real good. Better than expected.
Well, that's a wonderful thing.
Betty, where do you live?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Yes, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Well, looks good morning, Marty and Betty.
Good morning, Steve. Looks like we're going to get some good weather here in the Northwest for a few days. Get into the high 60s. That's exciting.
I think we are, too.
Good. Maybe it's just going to sweep across America.
That would be lovely.
Yeah, this time of year, you got that right.
Hi, Monty. This is Elaine, and I'm rattling around making so much noise that I'm going to have to be on mute.
Hey, Elaine, what state do you live in?
I'm in Kansas.
Thank you. I'll know why I need to know that a little later in the call. Somebody else just joined us. Would you like to say who you are? I'd like to welcome you to the call.
Good morning, Monty.
Nancy.
How are you?
You live in Cleveland, correct?
Correct.
Well, we might as well get 702. We might as well get kicked off here. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the call. And some of you have been on here for some time, and I really appreciate that and your wisdom and knowledge. You know, kind of like the mission is support and educate and to learn new things and new ideas, mull them around in our mind, and either take advantage of them or decide after validation or whatever that it's something that could possibly be for you. Just information, pain, and how it's so important to learn something new on a daily basis. And I know I do learn a lot from these people, so I appreciate that very much. Has somebody else? You'd like to give us your name or where you're from? We'd like to welcome you to the call.
Good morning, it's Mary Lou.
Mary Lou!
How are you?
Great. How do you do? And you live where?
In Texas, Sweetwater, Texas.
Sweetwater, okay, good.
In West Texas.
Oh, West Texas, great. Yeah. Well, the reason, I'd like, first of all, does anybody on a Good Friday like to report their points or anything that possibly they've learned this last week so far that was important as far as they were concerned, their gold nugget? Or something exciting that has happened with them, or?
Well, I'm still going. It's arrived. I usually get my exercise in three days a week at the club, but I stay pretty active. I don't know where my scale is on the points. I'd say 5, 6, 7, somewhere on there.
Better than nothing. I'll tell you that right up front. Anybody else have anything you'd like to say this morning? Have any questions, possibly? Okay. One of the things that I'm going to talk about today on the call, and I don't, like I said, I'm fairly new to this call, and I don't know how much the discussion has been made on vitamin D and where basically what it is and how it works and certain situations that I don't think a lot of people really realize that we are, most of us are deficient in a lot of ways in vitamin D, and I'll get into that a little bit later, but I am going to be...
Scotty has arrived.
...talking about a book. It's called The Vitamin D Solution, and it's written by a gentleman by Michael F. Hollick. He's a PhD and MD, and I've had this book for probably about a year and have... went over it real good in the year's time frame, and we talked about a lot of vitamin D on another call. But Michael Hollick is a professor at Boston University Medical Center, and he's the director of the University of the General Clinic Research Unit, and also the Bone Health Clinic, and the Helotherapy Light and Skin Research Laboratory. He's a recent recipient of the Linus Pauling Institute Prize in Health Research. and the DSM Nutrition Award. Dr. Horick has been featured in the New York Times, the Forbes, Time Magazine, Newsweek, Men's Health, Scientific America, among other podcasts. He lives in Massachusetts. And in this book, I know some of us have heard of a Dr. Weil, I don't know which way to pronounce that, but he wrote the foreword to the book, and it's very, very interesting. But one of the things I just like to talk about, and that is, what is vitamin D this morning? And I hope you're not offended that I'm going to read a little bit, but to me it kind of makes a point in why vitamin D is so important to our bodies and what we can do about it. And probably, matter of fact, I'll probably be discussing this on Fridays, because I know there's a lot of information. But he goes on to, what is vitamin D? Is it a hormone or a vitamin? Here's the way that the chapter one starts out, and it says, somewhere along the equator, a 10-year-old girl is growing up without the luxuries most of us enjoy on a daily basis. She will never learn how to use a computer, order a pizza to be delivered, or drive a car to the mall for clothes and cosmetics. She spends most of her days playing outside near her farming parents, and soon will join them in tilling the soil. She will never learn how to read or write. She will endure periods of poor nutrition and poverty, and she knows nothing about sunblock and probably never will. Now let's sail north to the United States or Europe, where another 10-year-old girl leads an immensely different life. She is maturing into a savvy user of electronics, passes the majority of her days indoors, at a rigorous school, has access to the best nutrition and all the benefits that modern medicine can provide, and will know that SPF means long before graduating from high school and pursuing higher education. If both girls continue on their separate paths, the equator girl will be at least half as likely to get cancer during her lifetime as her northern counterpart. She also will have an 80% reduced risk of developing type 1 diabetes in the first 30 years of her life. In fact, barring any freak accident or untreated medical conditions, her longevity overall will be 7% greater. The northern girl, on the other hand, who lives in the United States or Europe, faces a host of increased health risks throughout her life. From breast and ovarian cancer to depression, obesity, type 2 diabetes, osteoporosis, arthritis, high blood pressure, heart disease, and stroke. She will be more susceptible to upper respiratory tract infections, dental cavities, and gum disease, and infectious disease like the flu and tuberculosis. As a group, she and her girlfriends will break their arms 56% more than their peers did 40 years ago, because she was born in northern latitudes and has lived there for the first 10 years of her life. That's the key. For the rest of her life, she will has a 100% increased risk of developing multiple sclerosis, no matter where she chooses to live in the world after age 10. She would likely lose in a jumping contest with her equator sister, who can jump higher and with more force. If she complains of muscular weakness and widespread muscle and joint pain later on in her adulthood, her doctor will likely diagnose fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome when tests don't turn up anything specific. The equator girl might experience such debilitating aches and chronic pain, and in fact, they may develop into a much stronger, leaner, and more fertile woman. If both women become pregnant, the equatorial mom-to-be won't have to worry as much about serious complications, and she won't have trouble giving birth the old-fashioned way. The northern mom-to-be, however, will have a much higher risk of having an unplanned C-section and of giving birth to a child who will suffer from schizophrenia. By the time the northern girl reaches midlife and her later years, Your later year chances are good that she will have been treated for an internal cancer, breast cancer, ovarian, or pancreatic, take your pick, at some point, and then prescribe multiple drugs to combat chronic ailments like hypertension, osteoporosis, arthritis, depression, and a whole bunch more, Alzheimer's, dementia, and perhaps even insomnia. Because of a significant loss of bone mass, she will be terrified of falling and fracturing a bone and therefore will have limited use, have limited some of her favorite outdoor activities, such as tennis, riding horseback, golfing, significantly cutting back on physical activity. And aren't our children really cutting back on significantly physical activity? And because she will have lost a considerable amount of muscle strength, her biological age will be much older than she really is. The equatorial woman not only may outlive her northern counterpart, but she'll also be less prone to chronic diseases that afflict her northern counterpart. For this reason, the equatorial woman may overall enjoy a higher quality of life even when advanced age sets in. Question is, what's going on here? The answer lies in the difference between these two girls' exposure to natural sunlight, which is our main source of vitamin D. Obviously, I've taken some liberty in letting a few assumptions go. The equatorial girl's limited access to health care and preventive medicine has its own basket of risk. But let's focus for a moment just on the difference in exposure to sunlight and the conclusion that can be drawn from that single fact. Let's assume that these girls grow up exhibiting vastly different levels of vitamin D in their systems, which is not a stretch given the documentary records of vitamin D deficiency patterns across the globe. If I were to test each of these girls' vitamin D level, I would be surprised to find that the northern girl's levels are terribly low as compared to her counterpart, equatorial counterpart, and that difference means everything. The sun is vital to your health and a well-being as food, shelter, water, and oxygen. I'm going to prove it to you through a comprehensive exploration of vitamin D. What does vitamin D have to do with aging and disease? And he goes on, and the last sentence in this particular one is more than we ever imagined. And when I read that and did a lot of research in vitamin D and whatever, I'm the type of an individual that I go to my doctor and I get my blood test and do whatever, and I found that there are two types of vitamin D. I don't really want to get into that now, but when I went to an independent laboratory and had my vitamin D levels taken, and I found out that my vitamin D levels were actually below 30. Now, they recommend that your vitamin D levels should be above 30, to 50, and as high as 80. And I know people have gotten into all the vitamin D, like vitamin D.
Loretta
has arrived.
But I don't want to get into that today, but I do would like to kind of something that I think is important that I didn't understand, and I don't think a lot of other people do. But it basically, the vitamin, as the sun shines upon our bodies, our skin type determines how much of the sunlight actually gets into our body and does what it's supposed to do. And I have found that in most cases that here in America we have, in Northern Europe, we have what's called a type 2 skin, which means they can burn and they get tanned and occasionally burn and gradually tan. And they find that very true in this particular area, and I find that true with most people unless they're really light-skinned or they're very dark-skinned. The darker the skin, the less the body absorbs the vitamin D. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about in this next little bit over here about kind of the type of skin, and the graph that I'm going to go to will explain that.
Is anybody there?
Well, I lost him, I guess.
What happened?
Oh, I'm sorry. I coughed a minute ago.
Yes.
Yeah, I grabbed and put the put it on mute. Where did I leave my phone?
Two things. What was the name? What was the year of that book?
Hang on, I'll find out.
And the
is
name
that
of
the
it
same Michael Pollan that we that wrote the Omnivore book and stuff like that?
I don't know, Nancy. It was the copyright in it by Michael F. Pollack, MD, PhD, and MD. It was in 2010.
Oh, good. And the name of it again?
The name of the book is called The Vitamin D Solution. And then the paraphrase to it is a three-step strategy to cure our most common health problems. And when I read this book, and like I say, I don't want to get into it today because I'd just like to give you a little bit more of information on it. But in regards to the sun and the skin type 3, which most of us are in America and Europe, and that is that we're in what is considered the closer you are to the equator, and that kind of brings it out in regards to the story that I read at the beginning. It kind of brings it out why the difference between the equatorial girl and the northern girl up here in America basically has so much different levels in vitamin D. But here in our area, we're called the Mid-Atlantic area, and that basically from New York to San Francisco is basically what's called the Mid-Atlantic. And a lot of people think that we get our vitamin D even, you know, as long as we're out in the sun. But from November to February, there is actually no benefit of being in the sun at all, period. And excuse me, that's from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. For those of you that want to take this down, you can. And then we're going to talk about three time frames. The first time frame is 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Here in the mid-Atlantic, mid-area, mid-altitude, it's called, where most of us live, we get absolutely no benefit from the sun from November to February. From 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock p.m., it is zero still. From 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, it is zero. So in other words, from November and February, no matter if the sun's out there or not, and this has to do with the angle of the sun is what it has to do with, okay? We absolutely get no benefit of vitamin D, our bodies to help the sunlight to help produce vitamin D.
I believe you do if you live like in Florida or Phoenix or that part of the country.
But that's because they're in the subtropical, and I'll talk about that in just a minute, okay?
Yeah.
From March to May, from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock, we need to be in the sun 15 to 20 minutes in order to get activated. Excuse me, 30 to 40. From 11 to 3, we need to be in the sun 30 to 40 minutes. And from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, we need to be in there from 30 to 40 minutes. From June to August now, going back to the time frame of 8 o'clock to 11, we only need to be in the sun 20 to 30 minutes. And from 11 to 2, it's 15 to 20 minutes. And in the time zone 3 to 6, we should be in there 20 to 30 minutes. Now, from September to October, here in the mid areas, we need to be in the sun 30 to 40 minutes from 8 o'clock to 11. And from 11 to 3, we need to be in there from 30 to 40, and the same for the other time frame. Now let's jump back to the time frame of the what's called the subtropical. And I think Jeannie lives in Phoenix and other people might live in that particular area. But from November to February, now we're talking about the same time frames, 8 to 11. I'll just do this real quickly. From November to February, if they
has arrived,
they need to be in the sun 30 to 60 minutes. In the afternoon, only 20 to 30, and in the evening, 30 to 60 again. And I'm not going to go through all the months, but in the subtropical altitudes, they will still receive benefit from the sun. But for those of us here in the mid altitudes, we get absolutely no benefit from November to February. And when I read all that and went and did my, got my vitamin D levels taken, I was absolutely amazed and how low. And what the book basically talks about is that the vitamin D levels that I think it's 90% of the people in the United States have a vitamin D deficiency. And if you heard what I said earlier about all the diseases, osteoporosis, osteopenia, arthritis, fibromyalgia, because that's what the doctors claim when all these people have bone problems or joint problems or whatever. But all those diseases that we conflict here in the United States, and the main one was multiple sclerosis. And they find that people that are living in our altitudes up here, basically, longitudes, have the risk is so much higher when you are born in these particular areas and live in these areas, the multiple sclerosis factor goes up quite high. And Dr. Hollick goes in to talk about certain things, and I know I've kind of maybe thrown some things at you today, but one of the things that I thought was interesting where he talked about is that vitamin D isn't really a vitamin, it's a hormone, and we'll discuss that on next Friday's call, if you don't mind. But does anybody have any questions or any comments you'd like to make?
Good morning, this is Wei. Yeah, actually, we've been constant subjects since I tested myself for vitamin D as well, and by now, even the girl that I was visiting down in San Diego is Indian, and her level was 9. Yeah, silly girl. She's a doctor. She's constantly diagnosed cancer of all sorts, but yeah, so she needed like 4,000, you know, I told her for like at least a month. But yes, I'm sure I brought the awareness of it. I didn't realize how low, actually, if I test a lot of the people around here, is low. I'm a 24. I just needed to get that tested. And when you take your dose, you kind of like, you'll start out high, and then probably as the sun comes out, your level of needing is much lesser as well. There's some great YouTube video of a few doctors that does a really great job of explaining as well. You know, if you're not a reader, about the factors of vitamin D, I thought I'd throw that in there.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And that's so true. And I don't think a lot of us, you know, think about our vitamin. We think, well, we get out in the sun. But, you know, what bothers me about this whole concept, and when I learned about vitamin D and how our children and you know, they get home from school. We don't want it to go out and play in the yard because we're afraid something might happen or somebody might capture them or all the pesticides and herbicides that are out there now in the outside. They're not even doing physical exercise now in most schools and everything else. And we wonder why our children are becoming, having all these diseases and getting cancers and everything else at a younger age. And I just feel that in reading this book that the vitamin D levels of a lot of people are not what they need to be. And if they could get their vitamin D levels back up, and we can't do it in just food alone or even supplements alone. So it's just something that we need to really think about. And one of the things that I don't know exactly where it is in the book, but he talks about how melanoma, people think that, well, the reason they need to stay out of the sun is because they're going to get skin cancer or melanoma. And one of the things that dermatologists have found over the years is that most types of melanoma and skin cancer actually develop where there is clothing. In other words, where you're protected, where actually sometimes the exposed area of your body does not come down with the melanoma or the skin cancer. Not saying it doesn't. I'm just saying the majority of them are normally found on other parts of the body that are clothed most of the time or protected from the sun. So when I read that, I did some realization and just realized that that was one of the reasons I went and got my vitamin D levels tested from an independent laboratory rather than, because I wasn't due to going to my doctor every 90 days for my blood work and stuff like that for me because of my condition, my diabetes. I want to keep everything under control as much as possible. And I'm just, when I read about vitamin D and that a lot of people just flat don't really understand the process and how it works in our body, but when I read that 90% of Americans or people in this, our latitude, altitude and latitudes here, and mostly in America, other than people like in Phoenix, but how their 90% of the people that they tested, their blood levels were low. Now, there's two different types of vitamin D, and I'll get into that this coming Friday. And most doctors, when they do check for vitamin D, according to Dr. Hollick, check for the wrong vitamin D. So
what are they testing? I'm tested out for vitamin D3, so what are you suggesting?
Well, that's what, I don't know where, I grabbed this book real quick this morning because I was trying to figure out what to talk about, and I really, be honest with you, Wei, I really didn't get into the book the way that I should have to present this, but maybe I can come across if just by thumbing through, because I think I saw it in here earlier, the different vitamin D, there's two of them. Vitamin D3, but there's one that's called I think it's free vitamin D, and then there's another type of vitamin D, and, I just can't find it right now. Okay, we're getting close. But I will talk more about this subject on this coming Friday if you're interested or know any, or want some more information or whatever. We'll get into that a little bit if that's okay with each and every one of you, because it's something that I realized I didn't know really that you think your vitamin D is because we get it in our calcium and we get it in our vitamins, and we get vitamin D in other ways, but I didn't realize that most people are really deficient.
That's why it's important, because of the lack of sunshine through the winter, and at least for us, to have your blood checked beginning of the summer, sometime during the spring, and then again after the summer, because after the winter, your level may very well be significantly lower than it is after the summer. And you'll need to...
Remember, Nancy? Remember,
oh, yeah.
Nancy, how about 4 years ago, or five, whatever it was, that we were about four, I guess, we were back in Parkview. They gave us that same chart he's talking about, and they really, really emphasized it, because, of course, that was in Brunswick, Maine, New Brunswick, and they weren't getting it, and so the doctors back there were very aware. Now, I don't know what you're referring to on the two types of D3, and that video is still up. It's a 29-minute presentation, the one that's worth really watching on YouTube, and it's a gal, you can reach it by vitamin D3, or vitamin D and cancer. That's all you have to type in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's got hundreds of thousands of hits, I'm sure, by now. But we discovered it when it first came out. But, you know, they've got more, you're getting way more knowledge on it than what we got as far as that last detail. So I'm anxious to hear it, too.
Interestingly, there was a derm on, I believe it was Oz, maybe it was the docs, within the past week or two, who said anytime your skin is tan, that is really damage to your skin.
Well, it's so hard for Asian. We tan very easily, like me. But only, I guess, you know, for the American, the really white going tan, that would be another issue.
Tan is definitely damaged, but she said if you are tan, it is damage to your skin cells. And, of course, the darker you are, the harder it is to get the D-absorption anyway.
Right. And that's why... What I think is...
So what they're saying, the darker you are, the harder to get the vitamin D absorption?
Yes. I mean, for African Americans have a really...
Are very low.
Yes. Well, they may not be low because of what they're doing to supplement, but they really can't. And even Indians from India can, you know, because of their dark skin, if they are darker, don't absorb the D doesn't get through the melanin. Melanin? Is that the right word? I think so.
Yep, he talks about it here in the book also. And that's why the time frames that I mentioned, you know, that's what you need to get your vitamin D to the level that it needs to be when you're in the sun, or anything longer, like what Nancy just said, of the burning of the skin and that kind of stuff isn't normal. That's why the time frames are where they're at. And we all know that the higher the sun is to our relation to here where we sit on this earth, is that, you know, during the summer, our UV rays and everything else are higher. So even during the winter, we get sun, we still, because of the angle of the sun, we don't get what our body needs to produce the vitamin D that it needs to. So that's why the recommendation is what it is. Now,
you know, the ideal,
The ideal time, Monty, is to go to the climate for, you know, just even a shorter period of time, and absorb some of it where you can get more out of it in a shorter period. And of course, it's the ideal time when we want to be gone for a period of time in the winter. So, reason to do NECANT, huh?
Got that right. I was getting ready to say, it sounds like somebody that would travel to Mexico.
There you go.
Hey, good advice. Anybody else have any comment or suggestions or questions? Okay.
All right.
Well, that's it. We're 7:32 on good old Friday. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up for the week. And those of you that join us appreciate it. And like Jenny said yesterday, for those of us that host the call, we really appreciate each and every one of you being here. And I get a lot of information. I know each and every one of us do. So appreciate y'all. Glad you're on the call. And just have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, Monty.
Thank you.
Has left the conference.